Thank you, Chile and
Turkey.
Turkey, I had closed my list, but this is a privilege for you. Turkey, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Key and then Netherlands, the last two speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to take this opportunity to stress our agreement with the United States of America regarding the ISO and the Codex principles. Member countries transpose Codex Alimentarius standards into national regulations. But at the same time, ISO, sometimes involved in food regulations or food products. But this adversely affects the national application, because member countries follow the Codex Alimentarius principles. So I would like to stress the need differentiation between ISO and the Codex, avoiding overlapping. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Turkey, for that emphasis on trying to work closely with ISO to avoid overlapping. And the Netherlands, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With your indulgence, I cannot resist the temptation to share with the Commission a little tiny joke coined by Vice Chair Hulebak when we met in Rome to work in May on the strategic planning. We had lengthy discussions on the cooperation between Codex and other international organizations, particularly the non-governmental ones, and we went back to the strategic framework 03-07, where in paragraph 12 it says, the CAC does not and cannot operate in isolation. She mentioned that you can also read this in a slightly different way. The CAC does not and cannot operate in isolation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I see every person laughing, maybe that refresh our minds. And ladies and gentlemen, we have very successfully concluded our agenda item 12, and I want us to quickly go to agenda item 13, and that is FAO-WHO Trust Fund for Enhanced Participation in Codex. And I understand there's been a meeting, and it was chaired by Dr. Anne McKenzie. Please, could you report to the interests of the Commission what happened briefly, please?
Thank you, Chairman. I will give a brief report on the Codex Trust Fund meeting, which was held on the 4th of July from 12:30 to 2:30. First of all, I would just like to touch briefly on the matters arising from the last meeting. The Director of Food Safety at WHO, Dr. Jürgen Schlund, reiterated the importance of having this two-hour opportunity to have a full discussion on the trust fund. And this was certainly supported by Dr. Costa Rica from FAO. Matters arising from the last meeting and the follow-up actions were, in fact, considered. And there was prepared the 2005 annual report and the 7th progress report. I should point out that several practical and logistical suggestions that had been made at the last meeting were indeed taken forward, and the issue of the scrutiny of trust fund sponsored participants in Codex meetings was discussed. And as you heard earlier in the week, all 24 trust fund participants were able to contribute to the quorum count of this meeting. The attention of the meeting was then turned to the actual content of the 2005 annual report and the 7th progress report. And again, Dr. Schlund made available the results of those reports and encouraged participants to enter into a discussion on the results. May I say, Chairman, that this was followed, in fact, by a very extensive discussion, and all beneficiaries expressed strong feelings of appreciation for the institution, the management, and the country-level impact of the Codex Trust Fund. I would like to specifically mention four important outcomes of participation that were reported by countries. Number one, there was an increase of interest in Codex matters in evidence at the country level. Number two, there has been much better training of local experts in Codex-related issues. Number three, in many cases, there has been the establishment of national Codex committees. And number four, many participants reported a strengthening of national systems. Also, coming out of this extensive discussion, some of the more specific comments were able to be categorized into about three areas. One was the quality of participation, one was the logistics of participation, and the third category was, in fact, the training issue. Chairman, all participants were encouraged to write down their suggestions and make them available to WHO-FAO for categorizing as an aid to the development of potential operational plans and guidelines for the trust fund. Problems identified should be matched with corresponding suggestions for resolution. Then, Chairman, the attention of the participants was directed to the report of the Survey of National Policy and Activities Related to Food Safety in Countries Eligible for the Codex Trust Fund. This report has been made available to all members of the Commission and is certainly worthy of very careful study back home. Dr. Schlint made the presentation summarizing the report, and this was once again followed, Chairman, by a very, very comprehensive discussion. Once again, the conclusion of the discussion was, in fact, that countries may wish to reflect upon the need for a formal cost-effectiveness or cost-benefit analysis. Secondly, the Trust Fund Secretariat may wish to consider summarizing the wealth of very positive information contained in Annexes 3, 4, and 5, which contain a multitude of positive testimonials. Finally, there should be an examination of the reasons why 23% of countries benefiting from the Trust Fund were not able to respond to the invitation to participate in the evaluation. En résumé, Monsieur le Président, je voudrais vous dire que la réunion était indiscutablement positive. Les participants ont fait plusieurs suggestions auxquelles il serait souhaitable que nous développions un plan opérationnel. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Dr. Anne McKenzie, for that very productive meeting and the information therefrom, and the Commission note the report from this informal meeting. And can I ask the manager of the Trust Fund if we would like to say a word or two?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That would be only maybe two or three words, because I think this this report back from the meeting is actually going through all the important issues that I think we have in the three reports and in this specific survey. And we are taking all the good suggestions from both participant countries benefiting from the Trust Fund and also from donor countries into consideration in trying to improve this. and especially trying to improve our explanation of what is happening in countries because of the help of participation in Codex through the Trust Fund. And we think we can be a lot better in doing that in the future, which will hopefully also persuade new donors to put money in the Trust Fund. And it sounds to us to be a very positive step forward that we now would even have maybe developing countries put money into the Trust Fund also. So it seems to be that donors are realizing the benefit, but we continue to be obliged to explain that in even better terms in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Trust Fund Manager. And I see the flag of the European Community, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just picking up from the remarks of Dr. Schlund, I'd like to bring to your attention that the European Communities is the single biggest contributor to the fund. And taken with the contributions of member states of the European Union, two out of every three euros or dollars spent under the fund come from European donors. We consider it a significant success and are committed to maintaining and, if resources permit, increasing our contributions. I would add, in addition, that building on the success of the Trust Fund, a lot of member states and the European Communities are looking at similar arrangements in other international standard-setting bodies, such as WTO, OIE, IPPC, etc., because it's important that in all these fora that developing countries have the opportunity to be represented. Thank you.
Thank you, European Community. And I see the flag of FAO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a word of thanks to the donors, of course, for their generous support to the Trust Fund. In our meeting at the regional level, particularly in the food safety regional conferences that FAO and WHO have held in different regions of the world recently, there has been a strong request for increasing the possibility for the Trust Fund to undertake training activities also in connection with Codex. And I believe there is this applies particularly to Africa, where the African group, which we have met with yesterday, have made another request for more consideration to the training component within the Trust Fund. I think we should look together with our sister organization WHO in which way we can have more synergy between our activities, FAO and WHO activities for capacity building, and with the Trust Fund, so that we can enhance the training capabilities or the training aspects, let's say, of the Trust Fund. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, FAO, and we could, of course, conclude as a Commission first by noting the positive information from the informal meeting which was held on the Trust Fund. And I also wish to refer the Commission to paragraphs 123 and 124 of the Executive Committee Report, Alnom 06/29/3A, which is where the Executive Committee report, the committee noting the report of the Trust Fund as presented, expresses appreciation to the progress made in the operation of the fund, to the efforts being made by FAO and WHO, and to the donors making generous financial contributions. The committee encouraged donors to continue to provide funds to the Trust Fund and invite other countries to consider contributing to the fund in order to ensure its sustainability. And we are encouraged that the positive experience gained in the course of the implementation of the Trust Fund can also be extended to the other international organizations, as it has been mentioned by the European Community. And in paragraph 124, the committee recognized the information meetings for the delegates supported by the Trust Fund held immediately prior to the Codex sessions was very useful, and welcomed the initiative taken in this direction by host governments of subsidiary bodies in cooperation with the Codex Secretariat and the Trust Fund Secretariat. So this will be our conclusion of this agenda item. And can we go to the next agenda item, and that is matters, that's agenda item 14, and that's matters arising from FAO and WHO. And I wish to invite the representative of FAO.
Can I just say something?
Away from the secretary, please, before we go to the next agenda item. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to act as your timekeeper of the session. We have got to announce the results of the secret ballot that took place this morning around noon, let's say we need 10 minutes or so. Therefore, we have less than 30 minutes to cover the current item 14. So this is a reminder from the timekeeper. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for cautioning us about the time management, and I wish to request all the delegations to understand the time constraint we are in, and I wish to invite the representative of FAO to start on agenda, introducing agenda item 14, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Como los miembros de la comisión conocen, estas actividades son actividades fundamentalmente conjuntas entre la FAO y la OMS. Por tanto, nos hemos dividido la presentación de la ALINORM 06-29-9F en tres puntos, tema 1, 2 y 3. La parte número 1 iniciará mi colega, la doctora Tritcher, las presentaciones que haremos acá serán en representación de las dos organizaciones. Doctora Tritcher, por favor.
Thank you very much. And in the interest of time, as we were reminded, I will not go through all the details of this document that I hope all of you have in front of you. Just highlight some key issues and make some additional comments. First, matters related to JEXA activities. Please excuse my voice. I hope it holds on. The 66th meeting was held in February this year, and it was dealing with the assessment of residues of veterinary drugs in food. Several ADIs and a number of MRLs were established and recommended. One specific item on the agenda of this committee was to address concern that has been raised by the European community within CCRVDF on the compound triclophone, and these specific concerns were addressed by the 66th JECFA. And very important, the committee had a number of very important aspects related to the principles of risk assessment and actually the future of the committee. And on behalf of the JECFA Secretariat, I would like to raise very strong concern about the apparent lack of support of the JECFA veterinary drug and CCRVDF system. There is a clear lack of support by industry in supporting data, and JECFA has no means as to put any kind of pressure on and complying with the call for data. Further on, in June of last year, the 65th JECFA meeting was held, which was dealing with the assessment, with the safety assessment of a number of food additives and a variety of flavoring agents, and dealt also with general principles. In addition, very briefly, future meetings related to JECFA. So the 67th JECFA meeting just finished last week in Rome. The meeting was dedicated to the assessment of a number of food additives as well as some important contaminants, as I mentioned earlier already, including further consideration regarding methyl mercury. The 68th meeting, which will be held most likely next year in June, is currently in preparation, and the call for data for this meeting should be published before the end of this month. The financial concerns and restraints we have were already mentioned earlier in this meeting, and I just want to point out briefly that due to this, we are only able to hold one JECFA meeting in next year. Now I would like to go over to activities related, not direct JECFA activities, but activities related to JECFA and JMPR. FAO held a technical meeting on the methods of analysis for food specification in order to update all the current documentation related to food specifications. This will also be published on the website, and I encourage everybody to go on the FAO website to see how the new check for monographs on specifications and method of analysis are now compiled there. Furthermore, at the end of last year, November last year, there was a workshop within the course of the project to update the principles and method of risk assessment to consider how maximum residue limits are established or recommended in the pesticide in the veterinary drug residue area in order to harmonize methods to the extent possible. The final report of this workshop is available through CECFA websites at FAO and WHO. Furthermore, also at the end of last year, there was an expert meeting held at WHO relating to the assessment of nutrient risks. And the purpose of this workshop was to establish a model for upper levels of intake for nutrients and related substances. So the purpose was to develop an international model that allows to establish upper limits for nutrients in foods in many different regions and under many different circumstances in the world. The final report of this workshop is also available from our website, and the internet link is given in this document. Now I would like to go over to activities related to JMPR, so the Joint Meeting on Pesticide Residues. The meeting in 2005 was held in Geneva and they evaluated a large number of pesticides, 21 pesticides over a 10-day period, which is really a huge amount of task, and I might want to add that JMPR has absolutely reached the limits of its capacities right now. And again, due to financial constraints, we cannot increase that capacity, and we can only hold, as it has been in the past, one meeting per year. The 2006 meeting will be held in early October in Rome, and preparation is currently ongoing for this. With this, Mr. Chair, if you allow, I would hand over to my colleague from the FAO.
Thank you very much, Dr. Teacher. For the information provided on JMPR and JECFA, and I wish to invite Costa Rica again to continue the presentation, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Solamente quisiera agregar que mis colegas secretarios de la JECFA normalmente son muy tímidos y no mencionan que este año se está celebrando el 50 aniversario de este comité de trabajo arduo de todos los expertos, y quisiera aprovechar la oportunidad para expresar nuestro reconocimiento como FAO y OMS a todos aquellos países y expertos que han permitido a la JECFA proporcionar una asesoría científica válida al CODEX. Como parte de estas actividades de celebración del 50 aniversario, además de la revisión del compendio de aditivos alimentarios que ya mencionó la doctora, quisiera decirles que además de los métodos de análisis, también se produjo una actualización de todos los compendios sobre especificaciones y monografías que ha producido la JECFA hasta el momento. Estas, como ha mencionado la doctora, están a disposición en la página web de la FAO, pero también a solicitud se podrá proporcionar a ustedes una forma impresa. Ahora me referiré a las actividades conjuntas FAO-OMS que se han realizado por parte de JEMBRA, y en aras del tiempo me concentraré en las actividades realizadas en la reunión técnica conjunta FAO-OMS sobre Enterobacter Sakazaki y Salmonella en los preparados en polvo para lactantes. Esta es una reunión, la primera reunión se tuvo hace un año, la segunda reunión sobre este tema se realizó en Roma en enero del 2006, y quisiera hacer notar que creemos que este es un esfuerzo, creemos que este es un ejemplo de cómo las reuniones de expertos y el sistema CODEX puede trabajar de manera coordinada para obtener resultados. Esta segunda reunión en enero de este año se realizó para responder a preguntas específicas del Comité del Códex sobre Higiene de los Alimentos relativas a Enterobacter sakazaki y Salmonella en los preparados en polvo para lactantes, a fin de facilitar el trabajo que el Comité de Higiene de los Alimentos está realizando para concluir el código de prácticas para fórmulas y preparados en polvo para lactantes y niños pequeños. Los resultados de la consulta de expertos, además de estar disponibles en la página web, también fueron hechos de su conocimiento en un documento que fue presentado aquí en la comisión, que está disponible a ustedes. Pero también tuvimos la oportunidad de trabajar de manera coordinada con el grupo de trabajo que está revisando este código, y fue posible para expertos que habían participado en esta reunión y para un representante de la FAO y de la ONS participar coordinadamente en la reunión del grupo de trabajo que revisó el código, de tal manera de facilitar la incorporación de los resultados de la consulta de expertos en las consideraciones que estaban realizando. Nuevamente el informe final se presentará en la próxima sesión de la comisión. A este respecto también actividades que está desarrollando YEMBRA en este año, quisiera informarles que el YEMBRA está preparando una reunión que está mencionada en el documento ALINOM 06299F en el punto 14. Ustedes han escuchado a lo largo de la discusión de esta semana cuán importante es el asesoramiento científico para las decisiones que la Comisión toma, pero también han escuchado las restricciones presupuestarias que tenemos para satisfacer todas sus demandas, y por ello agradecemos el esfuerzo que algunos países están haciendo para trabajar con nosotros en este aspecto. Por ejemplo, la FAO y la OMS, en colaboración con la Autoridad para la Inocuidad de los Alimentos de Irlanda, han tomado medidas para la organización de una reunión técnica sobre Escherichia coli O157 en la carne, que se celebrará posiblemente en septiembre de este año. Y el objetivo principal de esta reunión será examinar la información científica que se dispone sobre el tema y determinar cuál es la necesidad de una evaluación cuantitativa internacional del riesgo. Las actividades que realizamos de asesoramiento científico requieren una planeación que nos lleva aproximadamente 2 años, desde el momento que desde el momento en que ustedes en esta sesión de la Convención nos indican que esto es una prioridad. Por esto es que nosotros tenemos que hacer preparativos, primero que nada tener una información actualizada sobre qué es lo que tenemos disponible para, en base a esto, poder participar con mayor precisión en las discusiones de estos temas a nivel del comité. Por ello, estamos preparándonos para ello, en este caso Escherichia coli. Asimismo, estamos trabajando también en la preparación de una reunión que básicamente está orientada a recabar información sobre cuál es la importancia de los virus en el área de los alimentos. Este es un tema que hace tiempo fue mencionado como prioridad desde 1999 por el Comité de Higiene de los Alimentos, y en espera de una decisión del comité sobre la prioridad asignada, en los Países Bajos han ofrecido su colaboración para empezar a reunir información al respecto. En relación con otras actividades que estamos realizando, que no son necesariamente en el ámbito de operación del Comité de Higiene de los Alimentos, quisiera referirme ahora a la solicitud de información a otras actividades que también hemos realizado de manera conjunta, y brevemente me referiré a la actividad, la reunión técnica que se realizó en Roma también, para determinar los beneficios y los riesgos potenciales del sistema de lactoperacidasa. Y los riesgos potenciales del sistema de lactoperoxidasa para la conservación de leche cruda. Esto ha sido un tema que ha sido tomado como prioridad por FAO y OMS a solicitud de la última reunión, de la reunión de la comisión que se realizó hace 2 años aquí mismo en Ginebra. esta consulta de expertos, la finalidad fue determinar los beneficios económicos y nutricionales y los niveles de riesgo para la salud, si los hubiere, que se derivan de la aplicación del sistema de lactoperoxidasa y asesorar sobre la inocuidad de la leche tratada con dicho sistema y los productos derivados de ella. La consulta de expertos se realizó en diciembre del año pasado, en informe en al menos tres diferentes lenguas oficiales del Códex. Estará disponible para su consulta en la página web de ambas organizaciones a partir del mes de septiembre, esperamos que sea así. Un tema más que ha recibido prioridad por parte de las organizaciones en consulta con el secretariado del Códex para satisfacer las prioridades indicadas por ustedes se refiere a la solicitud del Comité de Grasas y Aceites para la realización de una reunión técnica para determinar los criterios para definir las sustancias disponibles en los cargos. Para realizar esta reunión técnica hemos también hemos solicitado la colaboración también de Holanda en este tema y en particular de uno de los centros de referencia que están trabajando reconocidos en este tema. Estamos trabajando con el Instituto Nacional de Salud Pública y Medio Ambiente de los Países Bajos. Han comenzado ahí su responsabilidad trabajando en coordinación con la FAO y la OMS. Será el preparar un documento técnico que será discutido en una reunión de expertos a realizarse a finales del 2006, del 2006 probablemente en noviembre del 2006. Quisiera llamar la atención de la Comisión en el sentido de que el llamado de expertos para esta consulta, siguiendo con los criterios de transparencia, está en este momento vigente. La llamada de expertos y la llamada de datos ha sido circulado a todos los países miembros del CODEX. Finalmente, quisiera, señor presidente, en este momento concluir ahí la presentación en aras del tiempo, porque tenemos todavía dos partes que tenemos que mencionar. Gracias. No sé si la comisión desea hacer algún comentario al respecto.
Thank you very much, Costa Rica, for the very good presentation. And the commission note that, but in the interest of time, I wish to invite Dr. Jogan Schlund to proceed with the presentation on part two, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In part two, we are describing that we have been working for some time on a FAO-WHO framework for the provision of scientific advice on food safety and nutrition. And I think all delegations have received an advanced copy of the final draft that is dated 30th of June 2006. This process will continue at some stage when we have the funds with an intergovernmental meeting about this general framework. We hope that this will describe how scientific advice is generally achieved through our systems. And we hope then also to take them to the governing bodies of FAO and WHO so that we have some sort of check that this is actually what member states of these organizations wants us to do. In the process of developing this, there's also been a meeting looking at ways to enhance the participation of experts and use of data from developing countries. And the outcome of that meeting, or at least extracts from the report, is available in the document 29.inf.13. I think that's completes the part two. I think that's enough. The rest is in the papers. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Schlund, for that brief presentation. Can we go to part three, please? And again, can I invite Costa Rica, please?
Gracias, señor presidente. En aras del tiempo, quisiera solamente pedirle gentilmente a los miembros de la comisión de referirse al cuadro número uno que está anexo al documento ALINORM 06-29-9F. Quisiera simplemente puntualizar la utilidad que ese cuadro, esa tabulación tiene para la FAO y para la OMS para determinar cuáles son las prioridades que tenemos que atender anualmente como resultado de las prioridades que ustedes indican a la reunión. Esta tabla que tienen ustedes en este momento está actualizada hasta abril del 2006 y considera cuáles son las peticiones de asesoramiento que tenemos aquí, cuál es el estado, perdón, 2006, perdón. Considera cuáles son las peticiones de asesoramiento que estamos considerando, como está indicado en la primera columna. También el estado de planificación en la, realización de estos eventos y los resultados o el uso previsto a esto. A lo largo de las discusiones que han tenido ustedes durante esta semana, hemos tomado cuidadosa nota de todas aquellas peticiones de nuevos consultas de expertos o solicitud de asesoría técnica y, por tanto, en base a esta información, esta tabla será revisada y puesta a disposición de ustedes en las páginas web de FAO y OMS para la consulta al respecto. Sin embargo, señor presidente, yo quisiera ver la posibilidad de que la Comisión exprese su opinión respecto a la prioridad del tema número 2, inocuidad del cloro activo utilizando en los alimentos, ya que lamentablemente la sesión pasada no recibimos una indicación clara acerca de la prioridad. Para finalizar, quisiera también hacer notar a los señores miembros de la Comisión que en virtud de las recomendaciones de la reunión de Belgrado que mi colega de la OMS ha mencionado anteriormente, los países en vías de desarrollo han estado están haciendo un esfuerzo por generar datos necesarios para ser considerados en las consultas de expertos, pero en las reuniones que estamos teniendo con ellos nos han solicitado tener una visión un poco más de mediano plazo respecto a cuáles son las necesidades que tiene la Comisión de Asesoramiento Científico, de tal manera que ellos puedan integrar en sus programas de fortalecimiento de control de los alimentos la generación de datos de manera oportuna. Señor presidente, en aras del tiempo, me parece que mencionaría solamente estos aspectos. Si hay alguna pregunta específica sobre los temas que es sobre la lista que tenemos aquí, quizá podamos responder a las preguntas. Solamente mencionar que en el tema 11, al final, esta evaluación de la inocuidad de los alimentos obtenidos de animales con ADN recombinante, esto estará sujeto a la disponibilidad de recursos extrapresupuestarios. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Ms. Lourdes Costa Rica, for the reporting and the information, and I wish to ask the Secretary to quickly present part 4, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to draw the attention of the Commission to Addendum 1 of the working document, which provides some information that had not been available when the main part of the document was prepared. It refers to the fact that WHO guidelines for drinking water qualities is usually revised at the interval of several years, and the latest revision of the guidelines resulted in the discrepancies between the levels recommended of certain substances in the WHO guideline and the Codex guideline Codex standard for natural mineral waters. So the reason why I'm introducing this item is due to the fact that Codex has already taken a step to this and circular letter has been circulated to this effect. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And ideally, I would have been tempted to open the floor for any interventions, but with the indulgence of the Commission, I seek to skip that, and could we...
Yes.
U.S. Recognize their flag, but in the interest of time, unless it's a very burning issue, and if it's a question of really procedure, or otherwise, if you could bear with us, and we continue with the summary. Thank you, United States of America, for your understanding. Then we note the presentations made on part one. And we really wish to thank FAWHO for the activities which have been going on and all the agencies, the JECFA, JMPR, and we really encourage FAO and WHO to continue assigning high priority to the provision of scientific advice to CODEX. On part two, we note the information provided and look forward to the early conclusions of the process and implementation of the recommendations as they have been presented. On part four, we really wish to express our appreciation to FAO and WHO, and we note the information so far provided. And I wish to invite the Commission to note the information as was presented by the Secretary on part four. Thank you very much. That concludes our discussion on this agenda item, and I wish to ask the Secretary to inform us about the elections. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would also like to thank the delegations which provided tellers to help us in conducting the election exercise. I have the results of this secret ballot certified by two tellers from the Republic of Korea and from Jordan. The results are as follows. Number of ballot papers issued, 102. Number of ballot papers returned, 101. Number of defective ballot papers, 0. Number of valid ballot papers, 101. Number of abstentions, 2. Number of valid votes cast, 100. Mr. Chairman, this means that there was one ballot paper that was not returned and one ballot paper returned but as a blank sheet. So I repeat, the number of valid votes cast, 100. Majority required, 51. Votes for Brazil, 36. Votes for the Netherlands, 64. The Netherlands was elected as the member who shall be responsible for appointing the chairperson of the Codex Committee on Contaminants in Foods.
The Netherlands, please.
Thank you, Chair. I would thank all the delegations here for their support for in this secret ballot. I think that with that trust, we are very happy to continue the work on the CODEX Committee of Contaminants, and we want to work in a good spirit, as we always do. I hope we can keep up the productivity through good, fruitful and respectful discussions
and I hope we will do that with as many countries present as possible. We want to support, keep supporting that, and I thank again delegates. Thank you for the support for continuing this work. Thank you.
With that note from the Netherlands, and I wish to Brazil, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, firstly, I'd like to congratulate the Netherlands and wish it all success in its work. Secondly, I would like to express disappointment that this opportunity has passed without contributing to correct the underrepresentation of developing countries in Codex core bodies. We must continue our common efforts to redress this imbalance. Most of all, Mr. Chairman, Brazil wishes to express its deepest gratitude to the countries that supported its candidates. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brazil. And with these two notes from the Netherlands and Brazil, it's important to put in the record of the Commission the excellent work which was done by the Netherlands when it was hosting the Codex Committee on Food Additives and Contaminants. It was one of the most successful committees, and the Netherlands had gained a lot of experience, and it's important to put in our records and also clap for the Netherlands for good work that they did under that commission. And I would really wish in the future we don't get into the situation where we have to vote, and maybe at a later stage in the commission, lest we send the wrong signals to the host governments which are really dedicating a lot of their human resource and financial resource to the good of the process of Codex. We should at one stage have a procedure of handling a situation like what we have just come out of, where there is a division of a committee or a chance where a count has to give out a committee to be given the opportunity in a natural way to see which of the babies they would like to retain and avoid the situations where we have to go into voting. With this note, I have been reminded by the Secretariat that when we are handling agenda item 14, there was part 4 which was to be reported by FAO, and now that I see we have a bit of time saving, can I ask the indulgence of the Commission to give the opportunity to FAO to say some few words quickly, please? FAO, please.
Since this very important task on capacity building, I would like to ask Dr. Maya Pinheiro to report to the Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Dr. Tantissian. Last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to draw your attention to document CAC stroke 29 in stroke 3. In view of obviously the time limitations, I will only be very succinct and highlight key activities on capacity building that FAO and WHO have implemented in the last year. Though it's quite an impressive report, I might remind you that it's only on the past year. And these are all the capacity building activities referring to food quality and safety related to Codex work, and these have been performed at global, regional, and national level. Most significant have been the food conference on food safety for the regions. These this past year were held for Africa and Zimbabwe, and for the Americas and the Caribbean in San Jose, Costa Rica. The previous one had been held on the previous year. These events were done at the request of countries to provide policy guidance and capacity building in food safety in and made a series of recommendations, which we're now following through with the with the regions. We have been meeting here at the CAC with the delegates from the meetings to follow up on the implementation of the recommendations. And we're happy to say that many have already been undertaken and will continue to be so. The African group in particular has already prepared a strategic plan for Africa, and donors are being actively engaged for this very worthwhile proposal following the actions of these regional meetings. There is also the funding mechanisms that you have heard. The SDDF and the Trust Fund have been a very, very important activity for capacity building, a very important instrument, and over 12 project grants and 15 project preparation grants have been given by SDDF precisely to comply with the Codex activities and SPS in particular. We are also working on global projects jointly, in particular having to do with coffee and fresh fruits and vegetables. Many tools have been prepared precisely for these global projects and to give them the countries with a train-the-trainers approach so that they can then replicate. We have them outside, some of these for you to look at. There have been an extensive list of tools prepared, in which I would just like to mention the awareness course on microbiological risk assessment, the guidelines on capacity building needs. This is the short and the long versions. These are very useful tools, just freshly edited, printed for countries to be able to assess their food control systems, see the gaps, and help them in identify how to approach them and ask for assistance, which we will be happy to comply and help. There's also the training packs on HACCP for small and least developed businesses, the ones on products that are from modern biotechnology, and the one on Codex, obviously, to enhance participation of Codex. These we're already using in these training courses, including the ones being done jointly and previous to the coordinating regional meetings and with also with WTO. Information exchange mechanisms are going full speed ahead as the International Portal of Food Safety, Animal and Plant Health, now with a Spanish version, though it's been launched at our regional office in Santiago. And this also has received funding from SDDF for helping countries provide the data necessary and to be trained on its usage. So we're going now to the countries to work with them on how to provide more information to the portal and demonstrate its use. There's also been a network of technical experts on preparedness for emergencies that started for the tsunami, and now it's been expanded to all the emergencies in collaboration also with Atomic Energy. International events that I would just like to mention, some have been for the crisis in Kenya for mycotoxins. It's been a big conference done for Africa in raising awareness and emergency and preparedness and emphasis on health and trade. There's also a workshop on genetically modified food safety held at FAO headquarters. Also one on consultation on biosafety following the biosecurity approach. This is an integrated framework of food safety, animal and plant health, which is the new approach. There are many tools also being prepared to follow this approach, not just the farm to fork, but the integrated three disciplines. We are already addressing requests, and we're happy to say already three projects are underway on this biosecurity approach in developing countries, including Panama, Dominican Republic, Bangladesh. The per regions in the document, I will not, of course, go over them, but you have activities per region. Let me just summarize that there are over 80 projects ongoing or starting. This is just for the year. This is very impressive. And these are covering a wide variety of activities, including modernizing the food control system, assessing its capacity building needs, street foods, pesticides, mycotoxins, of course, strengthening and establishing national coding committee, how to prepare standards based on risk, how to harmonize them, how to apply HACCP for small and least developed businesses. The national activities, of course, and the regional, each of these projects include many awareness raising, working with all stakeholders, technical workshops or training workshops, development of practical guidance in local languages, communication strategy, infrastructure, laboratories, inspection. I think I will have to stop, but I will be happy to answer any questions, and please refer to the document for details, the webpage, the newsletter that we have, in which all these activities are put, the tools available to you, of course, upon demand or whenever you'd like, and thank you very much.
Thanks, Dr. Maya Pinheiro, for the very informative information provided, and as a commission, we really express our thanks to FAO and WHO and not the information as it has been provided. And quickly, I want to, with a good understanding of our interpreters, please, that could we as a commission go to paragraphs 127-128 of ALNOM 06/29/3A? There is a recommendation which is required to be endorsed by the commission. And during the executive committee meeting, we noted that the terms of reference developed by the two committees, that is the Committee on Food Additives and Contaminants and the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene, provided sufficient guidance to FAO and WHO and agreed to request FAO and WHO to start taking necessary steps to organize an expert consultation, including identification of required extra budgetary funds, and if, as a commission, we could endorse that recommendation from the executive committee. Thank you very much. We endorse the recommendation from the executive committee, and can I quickly turn the floor to the secretariat, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have successfully come to the end of the business this morning. And I would like to remind the delegations that the adoption of the report will start at 1:30 tomorrow in the afternoon in the same place. The draft reports will be available by 12:30 so that you will have at least 60 minutes to read the report before the adoption starts. We will avail ourselves of simultaneous interpretation for only 3 hours, so we would like to expect very concise intervention from the delegations with concrete proposal to how to amend the redraft report if required. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to again remind the all chairs of the Codex subsidiary bodies, and if they are not available, their representative to join Dr. Moshe, 5 minutes from now in room 14 at level 2 of this building. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Secretary, for that note, and I wish to emphasize one thing, that we will have only 3 hours tomorrow going through the report. I wish to ask the Secretary to have as brief but as informative report as possible, and as we go through the report, please come up with concrete solutions, and I shall really be strict on going back and forth while adopting the paragraphs. And with that note, I adjourn the meeting until tomorrow at 13:30. Thank you very much, and thank you, interpreters, for your understanding.